So light us up. We'll shine your light. We will glow. You know, the Apostle Paul, he said it this way. He said, "For once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of the light." Now, before we jump into that incredible passage, I want to look at kind of the foundation behind it. Very foundational passage, the very beginning of Scripture. It's in the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, and it begins with darkness. And the word darkness in the Hebrew, it kind of conveys the idea of overwhelming darkness. You know, a darkness that's filled with despair. Darkness where there's no perspective, no purpose, it's void of all meaning. You know, it's the kind of darkness that covered the entire surface of the universe. You know, the Hebrew writers portray this darkness as deep waters, you know, churning uncontrollably, a picture of kind of pure chaos, you might say. You know, surging seas where there's no point of reference whatsoever, unbridled confusion that comes from the absence of light. And these conditions are a seafarer's worst nightmare, and for good reason. It's estimated there are over 3 million shipwrecks that are spread across the ocean floor. You know, the earliest civilizations that seafarers had just this thirst to go deeper and deeper, and they became braver, and so they went in search of larger fish out in the deep, and then finally new worlds. And early on, fishermen realized that they needed markers to help prevent them from drifting off course, to kind of inform them where they actually were. And so early fishermen, what they would do was they would put people on the land with lights, you know, fire sticks, and they would stand in a specific spot, and they would wave the signal fires, it became known as, and that light would guide them back home. Well, then cities and even countries started selling and trading goods across the sea. And so you're working on a cargo ship in that day. It was the most dangerous job. It was risky. Most dangerous job in the Near East that you could have. And I want you to think about it a little bit. Initially, there were no navigational tools. There was no knowledge of the dangerous rocks or, you know, hazardous points or treacherous currents. They no idea about this stuff. And so what you had was a few sailors, some deckhands, and precious cargo, and they're braving the sea. And many times they were braving it in darkness. And in fact, when you read journals and stuff, you find that sailors would talk about the unadulterated darkness of the sea. Now, I will tell you, I went out one time, went deep sea fishing at night. And we were in a little boat, and the darkness, it was overwhelming. And in fact, it was frightening. I wanted light. I mean, I just didn't like it. Scripture says this: in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Light came bursting on the scene. You know, darkness, all of a sudden there was order established. And I wonder, have you ever been in a season of darkness in your life? You know, that utter confusion where you go, why is this happening? You know, maybe it's relational chaos. Maybe it's financial chaos, vocational chaos in your life. hope seems distant. Despair is churning. Darkness is overwhelming. It's frightening. I mean, some of you right now, I've got your full attention. And I'm just curious, anybody need a little light today? You know, I talk to people all the time who are angry, frustrated with God. And they'll share their stories many times, and they're full of pain and hurt. And I know inside they're saying, God, you know, let there be light in my life. I've sat with people. I've sat with people whose marriages are kind of on the rocks. And I'll see how they kind of treat each other. You know, the hostilities, the stress. And many times as they're walking away, I just pray a very simple prayer. You know, God, let there be light in their life. I was talking to a guy the other day out in the commons. He lost his job. His company's closing. And he just said, I'm drowning. I'm drowning in doubt and debt. And he just said, I don't know what I'm going to do. And we talked about the options and what God was doing in his life and where God was in the midst of that. And I just had prayer with him, and I said, God, let there be light in his life. Let him see what the next step is. You know, Scripture, most scholars believe there are 31,102 verses of Scripture. The first few verses in the book of Genesis, where God calls forth light and he kind of separates darkness and light. Most scholars believe the rest of the Bible is about helping people discern light from darkness. Paul, in the book of Ephesians that we've been looking at, is constantly trying to remind us who we once were and who we are in Jesus Christ. Paul says, for once you were darkness. Now I want you to notice, Paul does not say in darkness. He says we were once darkness. I mean, once we were darkness in our lives. Each of us was void of light, that we were drifting through the open seas without form, without meaning. You know, we weren't glowing. In fact, we needed light. He says, for once you were darkness, but now, in the Lord, you are light. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. You were once void of light. And he says, now you are light. So live void of the darkness. In other words, be about the things, as he says here, that are good. Things that are right. Things that promote righteousness. Those things that we know are right in our lives. You know, the right relationship with God we should have. We ought to have a right relationship with ourselves, you know, right relationship with your hurts in your life or your past. We should have right relationships with one another, the right kind of relationships with this world. And we should be about truth, you know, no half-truths, no manipulating, no lying, no pretending that we're something that we're not. But it becoming the full expression of who God called you to be, created you to be. You know, growing and glowing, as we've been talking about. He says, fruits of light. You know, the fruits of light is whatever's good, whatever's right, whatever's true. Paul says, we're to be about that. We're to be light in the world. We're to be void of the darkness. And I don't know if you've noticed, this world's broken. I mean, this world is full of darkness, chaos, despair, no purpose, no meaning. And friends, can you imagine, for just a moment, could you imagine a world, and in that world, could you imagine if the church, God's people, were to live as light? We're to represent the light of Jesus Christ. We're to be about all things that are good and right and true. Can you imagine what would happen? I mean, we could transform our families, the marketplace, our schools, our neighborhoods, our communities, and ultimately transform the world. You know, Ephesus, it was a harbor town. It was a trade center. And we talked a little bit about that it was an international city. You know, people came from all over to see Ephesus. They came there for education, for music, theater, sporting events. They came there for cultural experiences. We talked about that one of the seven wonders of the world, the Temple of Artemis, was there. Directly across from Ephesus, across the Mediterranean Sea, was another one of the seven wonders of the world. It was the Lighthouse of Alexandria. And it's interesting, it was the first lighthouse that was ever built. It was built in 290 BC. It took them 12 years to build it. It cost 800 talents. That's roughly about $3 million U.S. dollars today. 450 feet high, had a bronze mirror in it, and that up in that beacon chamber, it projected the light from the fires. They said that that light could be seen for 100 miles away. Lighthouse keepers had to make sure the fires never went out. They had to make sure the mirror was always cleaned. They had to trim wicks. We know there were over 500 oil lamps that they had to keep filled in this. And that lighthouse stood till the 1300s. And earthquake took it out and just turned it into rubble. Paul writes, he says, "For once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of the light." The people of Ephesus knew about lighthouses. Paul had been in prison in Ephesus. And that prison was up on top of the mountaintop there. It overlooked the harbor. Archaeologists believe they found the prison where Paul was held. And what's real interesting is the foundation of that indicates that it also was a lighthouse. So we got this city, a quarter of a million people. It's trade center. It's a harbor city. It makes sense to me that there would have been a lighthouse there, that it would have been located on a very high point overlooking that harbor so that the mariners could see it and enter that harbor very safely. And so what I want you to imagine for a moment is Paul's in prison right next to the lighthouse. It's storming. You know, it's dark. He sees the lighthouse keeper. He's climbing the stairs, going up into the beacon chamber. And he sees that beam of light. And it's leading the fishermen to safety in the storm and the darkness. It's interesting. Ships and lighthouses, it was a common symbol in the early church of deliverance. People that had come to Christ, it was a mark. And so the early church would see those things and they knew that. Weary seafarer, despair, darkness. And then there's light. And it's leading people home. I think I've maybe shared this before. A naval captain, he's out navigating the seas, and in the darkness he sees a light up ahead, and it's directly in front of him. And so he kind of fears they're going to collide, and he talks to one of his signalmen. He says, "Send them a message." He says, "Alter your course 10 degrees to the south." He gets back a reply, "Alter your course 10 degrees to the north." So this captain, he's a little aggravated that his order's being ignored, and he says, No, alter your course 10 degrees to the south. I'm a United States naval captain. He gets a reply back. No, alter your course 10 degrees to the north. I'm a U.S. Seaman, third class. Those in the Navy just laughed because they get it. Captain, he's beside himself at this point. He goes, no, alter your course 10 degrees to the south. I'm a battleship. And he gets the reply, no, alter your course 10 degrees to the north. I'm a lighthouse. You know, sailors have a saying, lighthouses never lie. You may think you're on course in your life, but when the lighthouse, when you spot that light, when it appears on the horizon, you know it's constant and it's steady, and it helps you stay on course and it guides you in the right way. And God's like that. God's constantly lighting the way to safe harbor. Paul understood that, and he writes, he says, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. And everything that is illuminated becomes a light. Lighthouse main job, send out light. Paul says that in the darkness, whatever's exposed to the light not only becomes visible, I want you to catch this, but he says over time, it is transformed from darkness into light. In other words, as you grow, Christians, you naturally glow in your life. There is a time that we thought we knew what was best. There was a time before you gave your life to Christ, you thought you were the captain of your life. But the reality was you were lost. And friends, you know you're lost when the sea starts churning, when the waves start crashing in. At some point, the chaos in your life, it was just overwhelming. And you go, you know what? I don't want to live this way. You know, you know you're in trouble, but then you saw the light. You saw the light. You decided finally to trust God. Decided to allow God to guide you, you know, made him Lord and Savior of your life. And then you, as you begin to allow him to guide you, he's guiding you through his word, you know, as you read the Bible, through your prayers, the Holy Spirit guiding you. It's that full surrender. And the light of God leads you to that safe harbor when you make Christ your Lord and Savior. You start giving up control, and you start living in the light of God. Paul says, not only are you getting out of the darkness, but the light begins shining in your life, exposing things that you need to change. And as you change your ways, as you establish yourself in the things that are good and right and true, as the light of God leads you and guides you and protects you, by the way, it transforms you into light. As you grow in the light and love of God, you grow. And we've been saying everywhere you go, you glow. You get to illuminate or point people toward God, toward that safe harbor, toward that place where we're taken care of. And friends, I will tell you, a lot of people playing captain still in their life. The seas are churning in this world. And darkness is blinding, and I believe the chaos is overwhelming to some. And that's why Paul writes this next verse. He says, this is why it is said, wake up. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And friends, I don't know how to say it any other way. Some of you need to wake up. Some of you need to wake up. You are aimlessly bouncing around at sea, and the darkness and the chaos in your life, it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. You're in trouble. You're lost if you're trying to do it on your own. And this whole lighthouse picture, you know, is God's light scanning the horizon. It's pointing. It's wanting to bring you back home to a safer place. You know, wake up. You know, rise up out of dead ways. Rise up out of that deadness and that darkness. And friends, what I will tell you is Jesus Christ will begin to shine on you and shine in your life. Paul says, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but wise, making the most of what? Every opportunity. Not some, every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Paul understood the importance of every moment of his life. And he walked in the light of God, and he became a light to other people around him. I love the story. It's found in Acts 16. Paul and Silas, they were living the light of Jesus Christ. They were transformed by it. And these guys, they were glowing everywhere they went. They were shining everywhere they went. This particular story, I mean, the religious authorities hated these guys. The Roman authorities did not like them. Paul and Silas had been beaten, arrested on many occasions. And they were beaten because they were sharing the gospel with everyone around them. They wanted everybody around them to know what God had done in their lives, and they would not be quiet. They were going to shine. On this occasion, Paul heals a woman. She was a slave. And when Paul healed her, the owner, he goes on full tilt. He goes and complains to the authorities. And the bottom line, Paul and Silas, they're arrested. They're stripped of all their clothes. They're beaten. They're put in stocks. They're thrown into jail. And in the midst of this injustice, in the midst of the humiliation, I mean, it's a terrible situation. This isn't just overnight in jail. I mean, these guys have been through the ringer. What do you think Paul and Silas are doing now? Scripture says at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to him. These guys were making the most use of every opportunity, even this one, even this awful situation. These guys are focused on God, and these guys are glowing. They become a lighthouse in this prison. Friends, when you grow in your faith, you begin to glow everywhere in your life. You know, you begin to live in a way that people can see God in your life. People can see what God's done in your life, what God's doing in your life. Now, when I was a kid, Sunday school, we would sing This Little Light of Mine. How many of you remember that? Yeah. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Remember that? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Going on tour next week. Yeah. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. Oh, no, no, no. I'm going to let it shine. Now, Paul said a little different than that. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to let people see Jesus Christ shining in me and through me. You know, I'm not going to hide it. You will know what I stand for. He gave his life for me. He changed my life. I'm going to shine. You know, remember the second verse of that song? Don't let Satan what? Blow it out. Now, I learned poof it out. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. If you're a Christian, and you're not shining, Houston, we got a problem. I mean, two reasons that are really, I think, keep people from shining is, one, you just decide you're going to hide it. You're going to cover it up. And I pray that you uncover that. We are called to glow in our lives. And the other thing is we allow Satan to blow it out through trials, through tough situations. And again, I pray that God would reignite you, and that you'd burn bright, that you would shine in life. You know, it's not, yeah, I'm a Christian and I go to church. Friends, it's, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I am guided by the God that created this world. I'm guided by the light of God. And when I think of all that God's done for me and all God's doing through me and who God is, I glow. Friends, we were created to be light in this dark world. And whatever you're going through, whatever you're struggling with, you got to let the light of God guide you to that safe harbor. You don't fake it. It's nothing forced. But you glow because of the light and love of God in your life. I mean, that's what makes you glow. And people are watching you. You may be the only thing that they're as close as they get to the church is you. You know, we are living in the light of God, and when we live in the light of God and we allow ourselves to glow, I will tell you, great things can happen in your life and in other people's lives. Scripture says this about, suddenly there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were unfastened. God shows up. I mean, now, first of all, let's be clear. God was with them the whole time. But God shows up in a visible way and shakes the doors open. The chains fall off of them. It says, when the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. Apparently, the jailer fell asleep. When he wakes up, he realizes that the doors are open. He realizes that the chains are gone, and he assumes that the prisoners are gone. And he knew the punishment. If you were a Roman guard and your prisoner escaped, the law said you were to be executed. So this jailer draws his sword. I mean, he does not want to go through what he's going to have to go through. He wants to avoid the humiliation. He's about to kill himself. Verse 28 says, but Paul shouted in a loud voice, do not harm yourself, for we are all here. Paul and Silas had the opportunity to run. Cell doors open, chains are off of them, but they chose not to run. In the midst of this chaos, and you got to think it had to be chaos, these guys are still glowing. They're shining. Paul sees the jailer. Now, I want you to think about this. He sees the jailer about to kill himself. This is the guy that probably beat Paul. This is the guy that represents the darkness of the Roman Empire. And I think Paul could have just said, yeah, get to it. Who cares? Be done. Or Paul could have just not said anything, just been silent. But he shouts. He says, don't do it. We're here. Again, he reaches out with the love of God and grace. And he shines. And he's God-honoring in the moment. Friends, we are to be lighthouses in the darkness. in the chaos. You glow because of what God has done in your life, because of what God is doing in your life, and because of who God is. And when you glow, people see it. They see that you trust God. They see that God makes a difference. They see God shining in you and through you in your life. The jailer calls for lights and rushes in. He fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" Most important question you can ever ask. What must I do to be saved? What an incredible moment. You know, this Roman guard, "I've seen your life, Paul. I've seen your faith. Even after you were beaten, I saw your passion, and I heard it when you were singing and praying. Paul, I'm living in chaos. I saw your God act, and I want what you've got. What must I do to be saved?" He answers him, Acts 16:31. He says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, you and your household." The jailer, if you read the whole story, he comes to faith and his whole family comes to faith. Historians believe that that one event gave birth to the church in Philippi. The book of Philippians was written to them. You know, this all happened when two guys decide to let their light shine in a jail. Friends, when you shine, you never know what God's going to do in you and through you. You never know. And my question to Christians, are you glowing in your life? When was the last time someone came to you and said, "You know what, I've been watching you for a while, and I want what you got. I don't know what it is, but you're different." I mean, some of you might say, "Well, it wasn't that long ago I had a conversation like that." And some of you might say, "Well, it's been a while." And I'm going to guess some of you would say, I've never had that happen. And here's the deal. If it's been a while, or you've never had that happen, why? Why? You know, there are three things that I think kind of diminish your light, your glow, your influence in life. One of the things that seriously diminishes the light in your life, and in fact, sometimes it will extinguish it, is when your words do not sync up with your actions. And I will tell you, this is a grow issue. If you are not growing in your relationship with Jesus Christ, in your relationship with God, if you're not growing in the love of God, if you're not honoring God and trusting God, if you're not fully surrendered to God, it diminishes the glow. It just does. In other words, no grow, no glow. It's about that simple. And let me say something to parents. Your children are watching you very carefully. And you may think they care what you say, but I will argue they care what you do. You can say whatever, but they're watching what you do. And if kind of your motto is, "Do as I say, not as I do," well, it will not cut it. You will be sad someday. See, you need to be growing and glowing, and that stuff needs to sync up. Your faith and what you do need to sync up. Another thing that'll diminish that light is when you do not shine consistently. You know, it's, hey, I shine when things are really going good in my life. And I will tell you, if that's how it is, and that's the only time you shine is when things are going good, well, you become suspect about your faith. Other people look and go, oh, okay, so that's kind of like how I live. If things are good, I'm great, and if not, I'm not. Do you shine when you're going through a tough situation? Do you shine when you're going through a trial, or when you're under pressure, or when you face an injustice or something that's not fair in your life? Again, not false face, like, oh, I'm so good, and inside you're hurting. People see through that. But do you genuinely trust God? Can people see that your faith matters and that your relationship with God matters? Do you glow in the good times and the bad times? And then one last thing that kind of decreases the light, and that's when you really don't care about people. They're just projects for you. And what I've found with many Christians is they get impatient with people. And so if people don't respond right away, we tend to write them off. God did not create us to treat other people that way. We never give up. We keep loving them. You keep shining so that they can see it. And what I have found is it takes time to have influence in someone's life. It is very, very rare that you have influence with someone that you just met. It just is. Because it's about relationship. Paul says, for once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light. Christians, we were once darkness. We were once darkness in our lives, but we are light. We are to glow, and we are to shine, and we're to shine in the chaos of this world and in the darkness of this world. We're to shine. We're to be that lighthouse at work or in your school or in that gym that you're at every week or in your home with your family or with your friends or with your neighbors. And this morning, I know that the Holy Spirit's pressing some of you. You know you're to be light. And I want to challenge you to make some very specific commitments to that. You know, to say, I'm going to be light, and to name it. Name who it is. Name where it is. Ask God to give you the strength. And I want to challenge you. Did everybody get a glow stick? If you didn't, raise your hand. They'll bring you one. But, you know, what I would like us to do, and I'm not going to tell you how to pray, but to pray something like this, to say, you know, God, for some of you, I need your light in my life. You know, I need you to guide me because I'm going through some tough stuff. And God, show me how to glow. And just make that your prayer. Very simple. Or, you know, maybe it's there's somebody at work. Name who that is. You know, God, help me reach out to Joe. I know Joe's lost right now, and he doesn't have a clue what's going on. And God, I don't know what to say or how to say it, but I'm trusting you to help me with that conversation, to help me step in and be light in his life or her life or whatever. And to just think about, what is it? What's that light to be? And to just begin breaking it and pray it and just lift it up to God. Band's coming back. They're going to play a song that we listened to just earlier. And during that song, to just pray that prayer, break it, and then at some point when you feel led, just stand up where you're at and say, God, I'm going to glow. I'm going to glow because you've called me to glow. Let's bow in a word of prayer together. Our holy God, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just, right now, just that we'd see a flash, a picture, a face, a place. God, you would just call us to be light there, to be your lighthouse. God, I know there are some here today that they just need your light to shine on them. They need that safe harbor. They need to come back home. God, I know, light of Jesus Christ, that you'll guide them back. God, I just pray that we'd be your people, that we would just glow in this world. This world is broken, and it needs your light. And Lord, I pray that we'd be that. God, we just give you the glory and the praise this day. God's people said. God said, let there be light. And there was light.